Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Selma Christ and to New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I am so glad that you have joined us in worship this day. Today, I'd like for us to begin with a scripture from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 6. It says this, "You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. Oh, you preserve them all. And the angels of heaven worship you." Let's pray. Loving God, we come together this morning to worship you. Knowing that it's not just us who cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," but Lord, it is also your angels worshiping you together with us. And so Lord, we are in great company together with friends here at church and with folks who are in their homes and those who are out and about in different ways. But Lord, all this morning coming together at this moment, at this time, to just celebrate your goodness and to worship your holy name. Loving God, we would pray this morning for those who might be suffering, for those who are lonely, for those who are struggling with illness. And we would ask God that you would enter into each heart and each life, that you would bring your peace and your comfort, your healing touch, your encouragement, and the hope that can only come from you. Now just continue to lead us together this morning as we worship your holy name. And we love you, Jesus, and that's why we are here. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, today's scripture I would like to share with you is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 28 through 31. Hear the word of the Lord. "So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. The church then had peace throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers." Oh, this is God's word for you, God's people. Praise be to the Lord. Amen? Well, you know, some of you today may have noticed that our scripture reading was a little bit familiar. You'll probably remember it from last week. Today, I just wanted us to maybe take another look at this passage and see what this text reveals to us about how Saul becomes Paul and how he lives out the go. Now, when Saul was saved in Christ Jesus and transformed by the Holy Spirit, he couldn't help but to live out the go. Church, when you commit your life to Christ, you commit up to a lifelong adventure to go where you've never been before. And we see a great picture of this, of Saul's zeal to go in Acts 9. There was urgency in Saul's going. In this passage, we see Saul consumed with one goal. To make Jesus known. And in doing so, he became too hot to handle for those established in their faith. Oh, he was rejected and redirected to a safe distance. Yet, God never promises safety in the living out of the gospel. Potential, yes. Purpose, well, for sure. Power, absolutely. Safety? No. Oh, to assume living for Jesus is safe is to miss the adventure and intensity of the go. Oh, the disciples were skeptical of Saul. The Jews were lethal. The city was dangerous. Yet nothing could stop Saul from powerfully, fearlessly, and boldly proclaiming Jesus. As Saul moved from persecutor to proclaimer, he grew in his commitment to the urgency of the go. Repeatedly, throughout Scripture, we're told to go. In fact, the word go shows up more than 1,400 times in the Bible. We can never mistake the Bible as encouraging inactivity. It decisively reveals the urgency of God's call to go. In Genesis 12:1, the Lord says to Abraham, go from your country, from your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Oh, it's interesting that Abram was called from a place before he was called to a place. Oh, he left behind his old life for a new one without knowing where he would end up. And this is just like our relationship with Christ. Oh, we experience this new life, yet we aren't sure to where we're being led. Oh, God wants us to live in the journey and to be willing to go, even if we're not sure where He's leading. Moses. Oh, God said to Moses, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Oh, Moses wasn't like the cream of the crop. He was an outsider with a complicated past. Oh, he was one who was not eloquent in speech, and he had trouble controlling his anger. Oh, yet God chose him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And because God equips those He calls, Moses couldn't fail if he obeyed God. Oh, Moses was an unlikely person to follow the call to go. And so was Saul. And so are you and me. But as 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells us, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Oh, Deborah and Barak. Deborah said to Barak, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Sometimes God uses someone else to give us the message to go. Deborah heard from the Lord and encouraged Barak to free the Israelites. God will not fail to accomplish His purposes in this world. And He's willing to use anyone. Well, sometimes God wants you to see the urgency of the go. And sometimes He wants you to help someone else see it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, we read, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Oh, both Jonathan and his armor bearer showed great faith and understood the urgency of the go. And they understood that together is better. Saul wasn't a rogue agent who worked alone. Ananias made sense of Saul's calling. Barnabas connected him to the church. Oh, later in Acts, we see Saul, then Paul, almost always traveling with companions. We don't go it alone. Ananias, the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man by the name of, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Oh, Ananias probably wished he was anywhere but Damascus that day. Oh, here God tells Ananias to go see Saul, the man whose purpose in traveling to Damascus was to kill him and all of his friends. Understandably, Ananias questions God's plan. Yet we see God reaffirming his command in Acts 9, 15 through 16, where it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Oh, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Oh, God wanted Ananias to see the urgency of the go, even when it was dangerous, even when it was scary. Oh, and Ananias, he did go, causing the greatest missionary in history to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, these are just a few examples in scriptures pointing us to the urgency of the go. They help us see Saul as a part of a long tradition of focusing on the go, a tradition carried on to you and to me. God continues to send people to encourage them to go, and God equips those he calls. Saul was redirected to Tarsus, and we don't know whether he chose to go or was forced to go. You know, it would certainly have been easy for Saul to feel like quitting. I mean, it would have been easy for him to think that he misheard God's call to go. Yet, Saul gave God the benefit of the doubt. Even though conditions were not perfect, the go was still urgent. Oh, you see, following the go is about more than just geography. Followers of Christ are called to go in every sense of the word. Oh, we go out of our way to love our neighbor. We go to new levels in our faith. In some seasons of life, your primary calling is to go into your own household and be the light of God there. Oh, we go wherever there are people living without the hope that we have in Christ, whether it's across the globe or across the street. Also, so we see the urgency of the go. And if you've been following Jesus for a while, you've probably understood the call to go. But for so many today, we just miss our go moments. Well, church, today God is calling you and me to go. That's just part of our DNA as a Christian. And I pray that you would be willing to follow that call, to respond to the love of God by going to the world that He loves so much. Oh, but you need to know that as soon as you choose to live out the go, you'll come against roadblocks without a doubt. Oh, when Saul stepped into all that God had for him, he immediately encountered roadblock after roadblock to living out his purpose. And so I want us to look at some of the roadblocks that you're likely to face as you live out the go in your life. And so here are four typical roadblocks of the go. The first is this. The first is allowing the shadows of your past to detour and derail your present life with Christ. The first roadblock, allowing the shadows of your past to deter and derail your present life with Christ. Saul was the up-and-coming Pharisee. Oh, his greatest accolade was supervising the killing of Stephen by a mob of his people. Saul went to Damascus on a mission to imprison and persecute the Christians. And so if anyone had a past, it was Saul. Acts 9:21 says, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? When we respond to God's go, we get a fresh start with Jesus. But people aren't always so quick to forget. Sometimes they remember all too well the trouble you were before. they remember your character flaws or the poor choices you made before coming to Christ. And even some of those poor choices we made after coming to Christ. Your friends know you for your sins. Saul ended up preaching Jesus to the Jews who knew him as the persecutor of Jesus. Your greatest roadblock to living out God's go is often a reputation from life before you responded to Jesus. Yet we see in Acts 9 that Saul didn't let the shadows of his past stop him or even slow him down. Because when we step into God's plan for us, he gives us strength and grace to accomplish what he has asked us to do. And that is good news. That truly is. Now, the second thing that can keep us from the go is feeling unprepared to be used by God. Feeling unprepared to be used by God. One of the biggest questions when God calls us to go is often, how long am I supposed to wait and prepare before I go? Acts 9:19 and 20 gives us great insight into how Saul prepared to respond to his calling. It tells us that he ate to regain his strength, and he spent time with the disciples, and then he went out. The reference to Saul eating, I think, can represent for us the need for our growing to a place of health before we're sent out. Sometimes God calls us, but we have unhealthy relationships, maybe addictions or repetitive sins that keep us spiritually malnourished. To respond to God's call on our life and to live out the go, we are to get healthy spiritually and emotionally. And this doesn't mean perfection, but rather a growing obedience to the standard of God. Saul also spent time with the people who'd been following Jesus longer than him. In Damascus, he spent time with Ananias. In Jerusalem, he spent time with Peter. In church, to live out the go in our lives and withstand the roadblocks, we need to be connected to people familiar with the path. Saul would spend the rest of his life connected to other believers. Saul, later Paul, prayed with them and ate with them and even debated with them on occasion. We need to be connected to our spiritual community just as Saul was. And so if you've not yet found a small group, I would encourage you to find one or find a place to serve here in the church and surround yourself with people who push you toward Jesus. Oh, as Saul invested in his health and community, he prepared to go. Acts 9:19 tells us that after he regained his strength, he went at once. Oh, when God calls you, the correct response is to make sure you're healthy and connected in community and go. Oh, you'll always feel unprepared, whether God's asking you to take the first step or the 50th. You'll always feel unprepared. But go. Go. Our third roadblock of the go is not understanding God's plan. That third roadblock is just not understanding God's plan. The reality of knowing Jesus is this. The more mature I become in my faith, the less I think it's my job to know what the next step's going to be. It's kind of like Ecclesiastes 11:5, how it tells us, as you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Oh, there are many who will walk away from the go on their life because they want understanding before they take a step of faith. Yeah, God doesn't work like that. And whether it's the first step in overcoming an addiction or embracing a deeper relationship with God or serving in a greater way, oh, I have yet to meet someone who chose to go and regretted it. And finally, our fourth roadblock to the go is knowing God's plan will bring pain. That fourth roadblock is knowing God's plan will bring pain. Oh, God doesn't spare us from hardship, even though when we go, great things are accomplished. Oh, Saul spent just 2 weeks in Jerusalem before they had to sneak him away to the next city because his response to God's go earned him death threats. Oh, and in the coming years, this would become the norm for Saul. He was threatened everywhere he went, beaten within an inch of his life multiple times, and imprisoned in at least four different cities before his life was over. Oh, undoubtedly, there were times when Paul questioned how God's plan for his life could bring him so much pain. Yet from a prison cell awaiting execution, Paul wrote, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." That's in Philippians 1, verse 29. Oh, embracing God's command will cost you something. There's no question about that. For you to embrace the go might mean you lose a relationship. It might mean you'll follow God across the globe. It could even mean that you'd give up a cushy retirement to invest in God's kingdom. Oh, but in embracing God's command will always cost you something. Oh, you see, the reality of being a follower of Jesus Christ is that God has a go for every single one of us today. Our God is not a passive God. He's active. Jesus spoke about a heavenly Father who loves the people of this world so much that he would go from the 99 to save the one lost sheep. Oh, God chose this crazy, overzealous Pharisee named Saul to become his leader in the early church. a man who almost got himself killed 2 weeks into following his goal. Oh, for most of us, the go isn't going to become a missionary or to put your life on the line tomorrow. For many of you, the go is going to be something like becoming a better parent, or the go is starting a faith-filled conversation with a friend. Or that go is going to be like writing a check for one of God's sons or our daughters across the world. Oh, for some of you, the go is to get healthy so God can give you a greater go. Oh, but you won't have all the answers, and you might not know where the money will come, and you might be called crazy, and you'll probably be terrified in the process. But when we go, we don't go it alone. Oh, and in your go, there is a greater awareness of Jesus. In your go, there is a greater sense of the reason you're here. So, where is your go today? Can you answer that? Where is God calling you to go today? Well, wherever that is and whatever that is, don't let this day pass without responding to God's call for your life. I mean, just imagine what your family might look like a month from now if you respond to God's go. Imagine what our church could look like in a year if everyone here and everyone listening at home responded to the go. Just imagine how different our little part of the world would be if all of our churches in the Muncie area embraced God's go. Let's see what God can do through His church. Let's respond to God's word by embracing His call for us. Let us always be the church of the go. Let's pray. Loving God, help us to go out just as You have called us, even in that great commission to go forth and baptize and teach and to bring people to the awareness of who You are. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to go, and help us to be the people who love on others and help them to come to see the love that we have and that we can share with Your world. Help us, Lord, to just open our hearts and our minds and our very selves to the ministry and the mission that You will lead each one of us to as we say yes to You. Lord Jesus, just continue now to move in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we love You with all of our heart. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience His peace. Amen.